welcome to the air, to Republic Broadcasting Network, to be exact. This is your host of a new time slot for When Worlds Collide, a longtime show here on the Republic Broadcasting Network. My name is Mark Anderson. I'm a longtime news writer, and I write for American Free Press as roving editor. And I want to welcome listeners. Hopefully there's plenty of early ones at KHFX 1140 AM out of the greater Dallas-Fort Worth area. For today's subject matter will be of particular interest to those in that area, but of course worldwide interest as well for the broad number of internet listeners we have. Hello to anyone listening in Europe where it's early afternoon or late morning right now. It's 6 a.m. in the central time zone where I'm broadcasting from. This segment of When Worlds Collide will run each Sunday morning from 6 a.m. to 7 a.m. Central Time. That's 7 to 8 a.m. Eastern, and a more favorable time slot, you might say, for overseas listeners through republicbroadcasting.org on the Internet. I've been doing When Worlds Collide on RBN off and on, mostly on, since March of 2008. And I'm a longtime reporter and researcher looking into a lot of different subjects. Today we'll be focusing on the 49th going into the 50th anniversary of the JFK event, we'll say, in Dallas at Dealey Plaza, where I just visited the Sixth Floor Museum November 10 to see a program involving people who were still alive when Jack Ruby plugged Lee Harvey Oswald in the basement of the Dallas Police Department. I'll have some things to say about that in this hour as I speak with a guest, an expected one, John Judge of COPA, the Committee on Political Assassinations. They hold their annual program right at the plaza at the Lawrence Hotel, a fine place, I might add. And that program is held every November to go over the details and look into more investigations on the JFK event, as well as COPA looked at RFK, Martin Luther King, and Malcolm X, and other politically oriented or politically motivated murders as they see it. So John Judge, a leading member of COPA, will be with me shortly to talk about that group's efforts, past and current and future, especially their struggle, yes, their struggle to get the city of Dallas and the Sixth Floor Museum to not completely monopolize and control free speech as they go into the 50th observance in November of 2013 of the JFK incident. So free speech is imperiled, or at least encumbered, John Judge will tell us, and he'll tell us about all the details. So stay tuned during this first broadcast Sunday early morning of When Worlds Collide. We'll be right back.
Hey, meat eaters, the freeze-dried guy wants to know, does your emergency food supply meet the standards for survival? Then get the 144-day meat variety unit from the freeze-dried guy. Our meat units utilize only quality Mountain House freeze-dried cooked ground chicken and ground beef, the undisputed choice for great taste and highest nutrition. The freeze-dried guy's 144-day meat variety unit includes six number 10 cans of the very best freeze-dried animal protein for power you'll need when the going gets tough. Every Meat Eater's 144-day meat variety unit comes with a free medical kit and always free shipping to the lower 48. Need more than 144 days? See our one-year-plus Meat Eater's units at freezedryguy.com. And hey, the Freeze Dry Guy still has LRP rations, but they're going fast. Don't wait until tomorrow. Call now, 866-404-3663. That's 866-404-3663. Or go to freezedryguy.com and meet the standards for survival.
Chlorine, fluoride, pathogens, and more are in the water you drink day to day. Do you want the ability to remove and reduce those harmful things in the water you drink? You can. How? With a Berkey water filter. A complete standalone gravity filter system that requires no electricity and no plumbing. Use for emergencies or for every day. Berkey systems come in seven different sizes. Where can you get one? From GetBerkey.com. That's GetBerkey.com. With the purchase of each system, you get 50% off accessories, such as fluoride filters, water level spigot, and sport bottles. Plus, free shipping on all orders over $25. For a limited time, get 5% off all ceramic systems when you use coupon code RBN. Call GetBerkey at 855-GetBerkey. That's 855-438-2375. Or visit GetBerkey.com. That's GetBerkey.com.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Welcome back to When Worlds Collide here on the Republic Broadcasting Network. As I noted before the break, this is a new segment of time for this show. The first time it's been on early Sunday morning, and I'm kicking it off with a Dallas-oriented topic, but of course, worldwide interest is ongoing in the JFK incident of 11/22/63. And when you fast forward here to the 49th year since then, we have groups such as COPA, the Committee on Political Assassinations, doing their annual event and observing and continuing to investigate the Kennedy incident, the Kennedy assassination. And as the 50th anniversary comes around in 2013, the group COPA and probably other investigators and organizations are encountering the Dallas elite, the Dallas mayor, and the Sixth Floor Museum, more or less monopolizing the plans and Dealey Plaza for 2013, for that 50th anniversary observance. And this does not speak well for free speech. It seems that the powers that be in the Dallas establishment want truth to wear a tux and a bow tie. They want everything pretty. They want image. They want style. But truth always seems to take a backseat if it's allowed to participate at all. And this has been an ongoing problem, really, because I was just at a November 10th Sixth Floor Museum program where they detailed the shooting by Jack Ruby of Lee Harvey Oswald. And almost without any variation at all many important people that were still alive that day, including reporter Bob Huffaker and Jim LaBelle, the police detective, as well as others that played some prominent role that day, Bob Jackson, a former Dallas Times Herald photographer, more or less stuck to the conventional narrative that Oswald acted alone, or at least they didn't question it in any meaningful or clear way. And it just seems like those that are prominent in this, those that were directly involved, and the elite or visible elements of the established JFK program there in Dallas don't want to rock the boat at all, and they don't want others around who do, or at least they keep them at arm's length. And so my guest today, John Judge, here struggling with me through these early hours, Central Time in the U.S., he, as I noted, is with COPA, the Committee on Political Assassination, and he is at the forefront of fighting for free speech on Dealey Plaza in 2013. You with me there, John? Are you awake?
Yes, I am, and it's Coalition on Political Assassinations.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Not a problem.
Yeah, one of the casualties already of the early morning hours. But the Coalition on Political Assassinations, COPA, does take a prominent role in making this observance. I was there on the plaza in 2009 where you made a speech about the National Archives and how much information we don't know. You mentioned Suitland, Maryland, I recall, and that there's a vast labyrinth of files and records that most Americans have never heard of, let alone seen. And this is it, isn't it? There's this huge mass of information we've never been exposed to. Truth is still buried, and yet free speech is all you ask, and you're encountering some difficulties, to say the least. Why don't you outline that for us? Tell us a little bit about COPA along the way.
I was interested in your comment about the people talking about Ruby Shitting Oswald, supporting the Oswald Acted Alone lone nut thesis, because what questioned that thesis for most Americans was the shooting in the jail by Ruby.
Correct.
That's what raised the issue for most Americans, that something else was going on and whether Ruby then was acting alone. But
right.
Coalition was formed in 1994 by organizations that had already existed for some years, Committee for an Open Archives to get the files loose, the Assassination Archive and Research Center. Washington, D.C. was collecting research materials. Citizens for Truth about the Kennedy assassination out on the West Coast, which eventually produced Probe magazine and several good books, and hundreds of researchers across the country that were serious about looking into this, academic and ballistic and forensic experts, academicians and authors, and serious independent researchers. So we formed, we've held annual conferences since that year to put the best evidence forward, and we were formed also in relation to the creation of the Assassination Record Review Board on JFK, a result of the JFK Assassination Records Act, which we helped to push. That act, during the life of the board, released about 4.5 million pages, and since then, over 6.5 million pages in total have been released of classified documents. It was, at that point, the largest release of classified files in U.S. history. One other effort has topped that, 8.5 million pages released under the Nazi War Crimes Records Act. But our history is literally buried and stolen from us by the National Security State, and out there at Suitland Archive, you mentioned, mostly the military archive, there's 27 underground buildings an acre in size that are holding the history, primarily since World War II, of military operations and other things. And only a very small percentage of it is available in the reading room for the public to look at. 15.5 million records are currently classified every year, and a record could be 100 pages. But outstripping even that volume is the fact now that digital records that are being classified are reaching a level of a petabyte every 18 months. A petabyte is a million gigabytes. And,
wow.
And there's not even enough people that could be hired in the next 18 months to look at what was classified in the 18 months before. So people at these declassification centers, their public statements have been saying that what they have to do is use meta tags so that the machine will recognize what it's classifying, and then later the machine could be used to declassify records. It's beyond the ken of human ability to do the reading necessary to even possibly ever catch up with it.
So briefly, the classification is going into hyperdrive, where... we're always going to be a step behind, you know, the $5 short 5 minutes late, and that's an understatement to keep up with the sheer quantity, let alone the qualitative aspects of that kind of classification at that kind of rate. That being said, though, I was reading this, I think, rather sarcastic and twisted article by Mimi Swartz in Texas Monthly, a recent edition with Willie Nelson on the front. And it talks in here about a number of things, and you're mentioned in here. And whatever we may think of the Kennedy incident from 11-22-63, and there are, of course, a lot of theories, some of them more, you know, valid or promising than others, but we all believe in free speech and giving each other a fair hearing. But it doesn't seem like the Dallas establishment does, and it seems as if the mayor and a lady who's rather close to George W. Bush and his wife, Laura, and those that want everything pretty and nice and sugar and spiced, it seems that they don't want the Robert Groden and his ilk, as Mimi Swartz put it, who she says, quote, represent the wrong way, as if she knows what the wrong or the right way is. I can't see how she could. It seems like the social register, prestige, and everything nice and pretty is all that matters. They want everything clean. They want to simply remember JFK for who he was. Of course, you do too. So do I. So do many. But what is the situation here? Because free speech, I think, would be favored by JFK if he were alive today, but it doesn't seem like they want to give him that kind of honor. What's going on here?
Yeah, well, JFK certainly took positions in support of both freedom of information and not this kind of secrecy at the government level, and of dissent and, you know, free flow of information. And what's going on here is basically a public relations exercise by the city of Dallas. And this tradition that we carry on the grassy knoll at 12:30 p.m. on November 22nd every year began 49 years ago with a feisty newspaper editor from Midlothian, Texas, Penn Jones, Jr., who came back as a brigadier general, field-appointed from World War II, having seen the Holocaust camps and, you know, helping to liberate them. Took on the Klan and other race issues here in Texas, and published political information in the Midlothian Mirror. Klan tried to burn his newspaper down. He fought them, and he was at the luncheon at the Trademark in Dallas waiting for Kennedy when he heard that he had been shot in Dealey Plaza, and he and other reporters jumped in a car and came to the scene. And he began his investigation and questioning right there, and he began to find discrepancies that early between what was being reported in the news and certainly what was eventually decided by the Warren Commission. When it came out, he was one of the early critics of the Warren Commission. He wrote four volumes, Forgive My Grief, and carried on his investigations of the witness deaths, critical witness deaths and violent deaths and unusual deaths that led eventually to 175 different suspicious deaths over the years through the House Select Committee.
Hold that thought, John Judge of the Coalition on Political Assassinations. We'll be right back with more right after these messages.
Would you like to reclaim lost health? Are supplements only getting you so far? Hey folks, my name is Franklin. I had a heart attack in 2006 that left me with a damaged valve, working at only 20% capacity and odds against being here now. Then I found RNA Drops, a patented completement formula that creates perfect cells in your body. My perfect cells helped me to regain heart function and more. What could your body do with perfect cells? For a limited time, you can find out for free. Go to franklinsrnadrops.com and get a free mini bottle, valued at $50 on its way. Just pay shipping and handling. While you're there, you can view our growing line of products and hear amazing stories of what these products have done for others. My story is there as well. That's franklinsrnadrops.com. Start reclaiming your health today by giving your body what it needs. I cannot wait to hear what your perfect cells are doing for you. Thank you.
As many of you know, natural supplements are fantastic for your body and have zero side effects. You need to restore your body's natural balance. Theravim strives to carry only the highest quality dietary supplements and natural vitamins that can be beneficial in helping your body recover from the impact of daily stress, allergens, illness, environmental pollution, and the aging process. Why buy from TerraVim? Simple. TerraVim provides a rewards program. Earn $1 for every $10 spent, free health consultations, free shipping on all orders, and an additional 10% discount on every order when you mention the coupon code RBN. Call 866-647-4372. That's 866-647-4372, or go to TerraVim.com. That's TerraVim.com. TerraVim, the best supplements on earth.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
And welcome back to When Worlds Collide. And this is late November 2012, I should say. I'm reading while I'm talking here. This is your host, Mark Anderson, here on When Worlds Collide. As I noted earlier, this is the first early morning broadcast here on Sunday of this show on Republic Broadcasting. The show did air on Monday evenings until recently, and then there was a brief hiatus. Now I'm back with this show, which will run every Sunday at 6 a.m. until 7 a.m., and that's 7 to 8 a.m. Eastern, and a very good time for overseas listeners through republicbroadcasting.org. We have lots of listeners and lots of exposure on KHFX. That's 1140 a.m. in the greater Dallas-Fort Worth area. I listened to it myself when I was in Dallas recently for the Sixth Floor Museum program on the Oswald shooting by Jack Ruby. That's KHFX, 1140 a.m. Welcome to anyone listening there. Now, my guest this hour is John Judge of the Coalition on Political Assassinations, and he's telling us right now, and he was going at it before the break, about the Dallas establishment and how they're making it rather difficult for COPA, the Coalition, to carry on their traditions that were started by Penn Jones. I believe that's the name. I've got my facts straight here. He was the journalist that started these annual observances. And, John Judge, you had mentioned the roots of these annual observances on, at Dealey Plaza near the Grassy Knoll in that general vicinity. Now, fast forward to now, what's going on as you go from the 49th to the 50th year? You're just wrapping up the annual COPA conference there in downtown Dallas as we speak, where you're at right now. What's the situation now? We heard about the roots of this.
Yeah, well, I went out with Penn starting in 1968. He had been there doing it since 64. I was asked by Penn to continue the tradition, which I did, after he got ill with Alzheimer's in the 90s. And we began to also inform the Dallas. It used to be very informal. Very few people would come, sometimes five or six people. But as the crowds grew, especially since the Oliver Stone film alerted a whole new generation to the Kennedy assassination, I would apply for a permit to the Dallas Parks and Recreation Department, more as a courtesy just to let them know that we plan to be out there. The permits that I was issued and have been issued steadily, including this year, are non-exclusive permits, and they don't keep any other group or event from happening in the area. In fact, sometimes groups come out and play sound systems and supersede our moment of silence and interfere with it. I asked the Dallas police liaison about that, and he said that's free speech. And so we've continued this over the years, but the last 3 years I began to apply for a permit for 2013 because I know that on the 50th anniversary there's going to be huge crowds visible and international and national press attention. And there were a crowd of about 5,000 people on the 40th anniversary, so it's going to be larger on the 50th, 10 years later, and it's going to be a defining moment in that sense. So I've been applying, and they keep telling me that I can't apply more than a year out. So actually, yesterday, the 23rd, I put in yet another application. But at some point last year, I was told that I couldn't get a permit, even though multiple permits have been issued in the past to other groups along with ours. I was told that there had been an application by the Sixth Floor Museum for a permit going from the 18th to the 24th of November for the entirety of Dealey Plaza, not just the grassy knoll area where we go, and that it was an exclusive permit to all other events. And in addition to that, when we got the permit out under the Sunshine Act here in Texas and looked at it, there was no event listed. And then the director of Sixth Floor Museum, Nicole Longford, was quoted in the press saying that they didn't have an event. They were just being, as she put it, proactive. I would think the proper term is preemptive in securing the plaza for whatever the mayor's committee wanted to do. And that they didn't have an event in mind. She said, maybe we'll do a moment of silence. And I thought, well, what a novel idea. Blocking the one that's been going on for the last 49 years, you'll do a moment of silence. But in my view, if the city of Dallas refuses to talk about the assassination of John F. Kennedy on the 50th anniversary of when it happened, that's not a moment of silence. That's a perpetuity of silence about the truth in this case. And so the Sixth Floor Museum held that position. She also said in another interview in the Dallas Morning News that they didn't want a circus, a carnival atmosphere, or conspiracy theory. And to me, that's content-based denial of free speech in a public park, which the area is now, and also a historic land site, historic site. So it's a violation that there's a lot of legal precedent to say you can't do that.
Thank you for that. That really cuts to the bone of what's going on. We'll be back with more from John Judge of the Coalition on Political Assassinations right after this.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network because you can handle the truth.
Herbal Healer Academy's new summer specials. Our 500 parts per million colloidal silver, all sizes on sale. Organic liquid iodine, liquid cal, Meg, vitamin D, CoQ10 with hawthorn, colon enhancer, Super 2, natural laxative, our exceptional product, Connexin, memory power, and Super Male and Femplex. All on sale for the summer at herbalhealer.com. Also, 10% off on the HHA Survival Course. This is an important time to have this information. Might save your life. Nation's leader in supplying quality natural medicine and education. herbalhealer.com. Free online newsletter. Quality natural medicine supplier since 1988. We ship the same day you place your order. Free 128-page catalog with your first order. Go to herbalhealer.com today. herbalhealer.com.
$4, $5, $6, even $7 a gallon? According to fuel industry insiders and economic experts, those are the forecasted fuel prices, with no end in sight. Fight back fuel prices with a fuel saver from airfusionsystems.com. These fuel savers can save you from 20 to 40%. They're designed to fit any vehicle, from compacts to SUVs to transport trucks. The Fuel Saver works on all gas, diesel, even propane engines. Easy do-it-yourself installation in about 15 minutes. And the best part? No engine modifications, no computer chipping, no running wires, no chemicals, no water, no running costs, and no maintenance. And these Fuel Savers come complete with all parts and accessories. See how it works at airfusionsystems.com, spelled A-I-R-F-U-S-I-O-N, systems.com. Or call 888-887-9981, 888-887-9981. Fuel Savers from airfusionsystems.com. Save fuel, save money, save Earth.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Welcome back to When Worlds Collide. We're segueing into the second half of today's, or this morning's, you might say, radio show, the first one that this show has been on. We're being on an early Sunday morning from 6 to 7 a.m. It'll run every Sunday on Sunday, 6 to 7 a.m. Central, 7 to 8 a.m. Eastern, a new time slot here for When Worlds Collide. I'm your host, Mark Anderson, and we're going into the rest of the show with this morning's guest, and that is John Judge of the Coalition on Political Assassinations. And he's been telling us about the chicanery and goings-on involving preparations of his group, and it'll affect others, of course, who aren't on the official guest list for the Dallas establishment to observe the 50th anniversary of the JFK shooting next year in Dallas. And John Judge, the way you put it before the break, a perpetuity of silence about the truth of this case, and that it's a content-based denial of free speech in a public park.
Yes.
Without being too disparaging about the Sixth Floor Museum, they've put on some interesting programs, and certainly they have their place. And the Dallas establishment, be it what it may, and, of course, this sarcastic article I mentioned by Mimi Swartz of Texas Monthly, which is so subtly but persistently disparaging of those that don't wear a tie and a suit and don't have the conventional view that Oswald did it alone, and don't you know that, and don't you forget it. Yet when I read this article and I get to the end, what particularly shocks me, and I wonder, is this the whole attitude? I mean, for one thing, there's this recurring refrain, I'm gathering my thoughts here early in the morning, that Dallas did it, that, you know, Dallas is forever scarred and marred by this. Dallas did it. Dallas is somehow responsible. After all, there was these cantankerous right-wingers just waiting for Kennedy when he got here. We've heard that refrain. And yet it gets to the end of this article, and what really took me back about this article was here it says at the end, There are not that many people alive who remember this event at all. This generation will be redefining and ultimately forgetting it. It's quoting a Pennebaker. I was quoting someone here. And Pennebaker suggested that if you visit a place where something tragic happened 500 years ago, time will have diluted the pain and the horror, just as Conover Hunt has theorized. That's the next phase for Dallas, Pennebaker said. Wow, look at this. History happened here. And then the writer concludes, for Dallas, that moment can't come soon enough. In other words, there's an advocacy that forgetting is a good thing.
Well, if had it only been a natural disaster or tragedy or a bad incident, it would be merely history. But we know that the policies of the United States, domestic and foreign, changed massively, and there was a rise of a military-industrial intelligence complex that Eisenhower had warned about with the death of Kennedy. So it wasn't something that merely tragedy of the moment, the loss of a president. It was something that has affected us since that time and still matters. And they're worried about a public relations image of Dallas as a city of hate. Well, there was hatred here for Kennedy, and, there was also support and love for him. He had crowds come out. But
exactly.
They want to freeze the time at 12:29 p.m. on November 22nd, 63, seconds before the first shot rings out, when Nellie Connelly, Governor Connelly's wife, in the limousine with the Kennedys, turns and says, "Well, Jack, you can't say Dallas doesn't love you after this reception that he gets along the streets of Dallas." And then, of course, in the next 30 seconds, he gets a different message, and the country does as well. But our work doesn't focus on hate groups in Dallas that killed the president. There were people here that were there was an ad in the paper that day in the Dallas Morning News calling for Kennedy's death. There was a mood. Adlai Stevenson had been attacked a month before, but the Kennedy assassination goes well beyond Dallas, although we feel that the Dallas Police Department was complicit in the framing of Lee Harvey Oswald and not protecting the suspect and not doing a proper investigation even in the few days following before Oswald's death, and the situation moved on to the national level. We feel that there are Dallas elements that were involved, but that the planning comes at a much higher level, in our view, at the Joint Chiefs of Staff. And there was coordination, certainly, with people in Dallas. But Dallas is not responsible solely for the Kennedy assassination any more than, had it happened, plots existed for Tampa, plots existed for Chicago in the months before. It wouldn't make those cities culpable as a whole, and that's never been our point. But Dallas is smarting with its reputation since that time. But if Dallas really wanted to improve its reputation, it should call for a release of the records. It should call for the historical truth to come out. It should have the district attorney here open a new investigation. The facts, the witnesses, some of the witnesses are still alive. It is passing into history, but, anyone 60 years or older certainly remembers where they were that day. And there's probably at least another generation of life left in those people. I don't think that it's going to go away, and it's a subtext that renews itself because of its implications in the present. So we want to be visible on the 50th. That's all we asked. We don't care what the Sixth Floor Museum does, and we were asked by the Parks Department to negotiate with them or talk to them about our event, and we did. We told them what we intended to do. It's not like they don't know us or know who we are. We've been coming out every year. And we got a letter from the director of the Sixth Floor Museum, and I'm quoting, saying, "We suggest simply that you set aside the national and international press attention to his death," meaning Kennedy's death, "to another moment." Well, I have no idea what moment that would be except the moment of his death. And I don't know how you pretend that you're out there to celebrate his life and legacy, as we do, although we think it got him killed, on that moment, And the crowd is there because of that moment. And to not talk about his death at the moment of his death, on the 50th anniversary of his death, is ridiculous, except that they know that the press and the crowds will be there, and they want to manipulate and control the message that they get, and they want to sanitize history and reality. We'll do whatever we need to do to be visible on the 50th anniversary. You know, if we can't get a permit, though we're still fighting for one, you know, we'll come and be visible with T-shirts or banners or whatever we need to do, so that the national, international press doesn't miss the fact that the 90% of the American public believed that there was a conspiracy on November 22nd, 1963 that killed the president. They're talking about setting aside an area over at the City Hall where they normally have their events, and they're moving it over here instead, to the Dealey Plaza, and they're saying that that area should be set aside for the dissent. Well, when 90% agree, then the 10% who don't and the 10% who want to believe in a fantasy of a lone assassin, they're the dissent, and they should go over there to City Hall and leave Dealey Plaza to the people that know history.
Interestingly put, I was just about to mention the free speech zone, because America is really developing a reputation worldwide that free speech depends on where you're standing. And
well, the idea of free speech is universal. You can't have a location that's a free speech and the next location over isn't.
Yeah, but voices tend to carry past boundaries. We're proving that now with the wonder of radio. But at any rate, yeah, that's as laughable as it is disagreeable to say that we should segregate people according to their views. And as you said, this is content-based denial. You have the Sixth Floor Museum, which has its respectable aspects, of course, and does has its place in Dallas. Buying this permit, the 18th through the 24th, not just on the 22nd of 2013, and just kind of having a general monopoly of that area without listing specific events, as you noted, when you inquired into the exact contents of that permit. You had mentioned to me off the air that they were also sort of subletting that permit, trying to share.
Well, now the most recent development is that the Sixth Floor Museum, I think because it's so controversial and a hot potato, was not happy with holding it. The mayor's office, so now the most recent thing that's been stated, although nothing's been done at the Parks Department office that I'm aware of, to implement it, but it's been stated publicly in a press conference by the mayor's office that the Sixth Floor is ceding the permit, and it's being transferred to the mayor's office, and the mayor formed a special committee to plan the events for the 50th anniversary, which he calls the 50th. That's all he wants to say. You know, the 50th what? And so they put in charge of that a woman, Ruth Sharp Altshuler, philanthropist, I believe, and socialite in Dallas, funded the opera. As you say, from the article, mentions that she's friends with the Bushes. Doesn't surprise me. Woman in her 80s, and I called her when they formed the committee to let her know that we planned to do this event, and that they said that it was a community, appointment, you know, for the community to plan different events. And I said, we have representatives in Dallas for the coalition, lawyers and others, respectable people who would be glad to be included on the committee. And if she said that wasn't possible, I said, well, then we would like to address the committee about our plans for an event. And she said I had to put it all in writing to her, which I did, mailed it to her. And I got back a nice, expensive, letter and envelope and stationery. And her message was, I think she said 84 years old, I'm a volunteer, and I have no authority in these matters. Now, this is the chairwoman of the committee, has no authority in these matters. Well, who does have authority in these matters? We've been in touch with the mayor's office. They said they're going to get back to us. No response for months. And now it's passing over the mayor's office, and they're saying that, you know, they're going to hold this event, and it's going to be ticketed, that the people are going to have to purchase or be issued tickets to come, and they're saying it's open to the public, but they're not being clear about how or who or what. And there are some questions about whether you can charge people to be in a public park. But it seems clear to me that they intend to rope off areas of Dealey Plaza from public access. If they're going to ticket, then they're going to have to distinguish somehow between the people with a ticket and without one. And they're going to have, David McCullough, noted historian, speak. And then after 45 minutes, they're going to open the plaza back up to the public. But I'm sure that there'll be a sufficient delay. They'll wait for the crowd to disperse before they let anybody in to do anything, or hope that it will disperse. And so they want to give out their message.
My goodness.
You know, it's sort of like saying, you know, they're going to hold a moment of silence, but they're not going to allow anybody else to be silent.
You know, it's interesting. I can't resist but saying that they're cordoning off the area more than they did after the president had been shot, but they're opening the area back up to the public just about as quickly.
I was here on the 30th when they did a similar thing, and they closed off at least the north side of the Dealey Plaza and the pergola. They had police all around the area. They had horse-riding police, mounted police up along the railroad path. I commented to Penn Jones, if they'd had half this many police here that day, he probably wouldn't have been shot. And they had Kay Bailey Hutchison come up and tell us about, John F. Kennedy. And the politicians took the moment and they declared it a historical site. But they, at the same time, were trying to block again our moment of silence. We went over and held it on the South Knoll that day. But, I think that after 49 years of carrying the tradition on, the least they could do is allow us our moment. We're not interfering with them doing something before or after that. But this is, like I said, a public relations exercise. And we think that people who care about America and care about democracy and care about having the truth spoken to power and want to deal with reality and talk about the assassination of Kennedy on the moment when it happened should come out with us next year on November 22nd, be part of that crowd, and in some way we will be visible. You know, I envision perhaps what I have to do if they have a huge sound system and I don't is that I'll have to yell out mic check like they do in the Occupy, and everybody can repeat what I'm saying. Or maybe I'll have to go down to the Trinity River plain and crawl through the sewers where the assassins escaped and pop up through the manhole cover in the middle of the Dealey Plaza, But whatever needs to be done, truth should not disappear. It should rise again and be visible on the 22nd, and I hope people will join us.
Boy, the metaphors and ironies are all over the place here as I deal with the early morning mindset of wanting to laugh uncontrollably from being overly tired, just laughing at the irony of it. Is it not true, though, that there really wasn't any kind of formal or effective crime scene set up after the shooting on Elm Street, and that Elm Street was opened up back to normal traffic in a relatively short period of time?
Oh, yes, very quickly, and there was a collection of some evidence at the time, but in general they had solved the case already, had the assassin in custody within a short period of time. There's some interesting photos of Penn Jones published in Continuing Inquiry and in his books that he basically took from the desk of one of the Dallas newsmen who had taken them and reprinted them. And they show Buddy Walters and an unidentified FBI agent on the south side of Elm Street picking up and they have a close-up photograph of it. They're looking at it, and then this FBI agent picks it up and pockets it, a .45 slug. Not identified as a bullet by the Warren Commission, but it had dug a hole into the dirt there on the south side of Elm, and, they were retrieving this bullet. It's one of many bullets that were never accounted for properly.
If you're taking 1, 2, 5, or more nutritional supplements, please stop. Simplify your supplementation with Bio Superfood, the most advanced nutritional whole food supplement you can buy. Men, women, children, even Olympic athletes the world over have discovered Bio Superfood from BioAge.com. And now take just one nutritional supplement instead of many. The Bio Superfood formulas are whole food products composed with four of the most nutrient-dense algae found on Earth. Bio Superfood for the brain helps with focus, memory, clarity, and mood. If you can increase brain health, the rest of the body is a no-brainer. Bio Superfood has zero toxicity and is safe for you and your family. Learn more and order your Bio Superfood formulas at BioAge.com, spelled BioAge.com, BioAge.com, or call 877-288-9116. That's 877-288-9116. BioAge, the age of advanced organics.
Golden Stag Safaris invites you to hunt in one of Argentina's most beautiful scenarios. Enjoy the quietness of the Pampas and the five-star accommodation lodge. Excellent food and wine included in your stay, all the while hunting big game in the Argentine Valley, an area known for having a wide range of game, excellent trophies, the biggest stags in South America, as well as many other species, all gold medal quality. One-on-one guided hunts, rental guns available with the highest quality scopes in every caliber, Land Rovers for transport, pickup at Buenos Aires Airport, and a private aircraft for charter is all available. Go to www.goldenstagsafaris.com to see photos and for more information. Again, www.goldenstagsafaris.com.
In times like these, you can't depend on the government to keep you warm and fed, but you can depend on the Vermont Bun Baker to do just that. With a Vermont Bun Baker, you'll never be in a situation where you can't cook, bake, fry, boil water, or heat your home all at the same time. One of the most revolutionary cook stoves, wood stoves ever, the Vermont Bun Baker is available with or without soapstone veneer, a natural stone that retains heat and radiates it back into the room once the fire is out. A beautiful addition to your home. The Vermont Bun Baker has an efficiency rating well above 75% and qualifies for the wood stove tax credit. For more information, watch the Vermont Bun Baker on YouTube and live stream or visit us at www.vermontwoodstove.com. You can also reach us by calling 1-866-SOAPSTONE. Don't ever be hungry or cold because the power's gone out. With a Vermont Bun Baker, all you have to worry about is what's for dinner.
And returning to When Worlds Collide here in late November 2012. And this is, as I've noted, the first broadcast on a Sunday morning of this show, and it'll run every Sunday from 6 to 7 a.m. Central Time in the U.S. Hello to any listeners in Europe through republicbroadcasting.org, and of course, hello to listeners at KHFX 1140 a.m. in the greater Dallas-Fort Worth area. It's a bit early, but rise with us and listen to this important message. This show will probably be repeated as one of my select rerun shows when I can't be live. This is a good one. We've been talking with John Judge of the Coalition on Political Assassinations. That's John Judge. And, John, I want to thank you for getting up early and being with me. We're in the last short segment.
Well, I'd like to let people know that if they're interested in the topic or interested in what's going to happen, they can keep track of it at our website, politicalassassinations, that's plural, with an S, .com. There's also a site, Occupy the Grassy Knoll, for 2013, is occupythegrassyknoll.org, I believe. And, you know, we'll keep posting news about what Dallas is doing and what we're doing, and about the cases. We study all the political, major political assassinations. In terms of the impact, let me tell you a quick story. My mother worked for 30 years for the Pentagon, Joint Chiefs of Staff, Deputy Chief of Staff for Personnel Office as a civilian. Her job was a manpower analyst, and she had to project the annual national draft call, how many people they were going to draft in order to either keep the force level where it was, go up or go down over time. And she had to project those annual calls, which could be tens of thousands of people, accurate within 100 people either way. And she had to do that 5 years in advance.
And interesting.
I remember her sweating the figures coming in.
What does this imply, or what's the relevance? We only have a couple minutes here.
The relevance is that in 1963, in April, for the first time in her career, she was told to change her projections on orders of the Kennedy White House for a full withdrawal of Vietnam by the end of 1964. And I asked her after she retired, when did you escalate the war then? And she said late November. I said the last week in November. She said November 25th, 1963. They came to her the Monday following the assassination, Kennedy barely dead, and told her they were reversing his policy and that they were going into a war that would last for 10 years with 57,000 American dead. That was from the operation of plans that gave her the attrition levels, and they told she was so shocked, she took it up to the Joint Chiefs, and she said, these can't be right. These figures can't be right. And they told her, you'll use them. I used to tease her. That was the first civilian protest of the war in Vietnam.
Oh, my goodness.
So they planned that war, they knew where they were going, and they reversed Kennedy's policy that day. So, I mean, that's not the only impact, but...
Is that today, the 25th?
Yeah, that's right. It is the 25th today. It was the Monday following the assassination in that case, but yes, it was today.
This is the
1963.
Yeah. Today, the anniversary of that. Well, John Judge of COPA, thanks for being with me, and thanks to listeners at KHFX, 1140 AM in Dallas-Fort Worth. And we'll see you next time every Sunday morning, 6 a.m. here on One World Collide. Hope you enjoyed today's topic. Stay tuned for many more. We'll see you next time.
It's true.